You guys know I love and support female-owned small business, and I want to tell you about this amazing new company called Ink and Ivy Collective. She commissions female tattoo artists from all over the world to make designs for apparel collections. She also does interviews with each artist and features them on her website so you can get to know the artists behind the designs. Her website is Ink and Ivy Collective, don't forget the collective.com, or click the direct link in my show notes. Also check her out on Instagram. And from now until December 1st to get 10 to 20% off with her Black Friday sale plus free shipping. So check out Ink and Ivy Collective. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Unconventional Gal, Forging Your Own Path, with me, your host, Jerry Dollface. My boyfriend is in my bedroom doing this really strange dance with a giant snuggie on and making me laugh. Anyways, I'm very excited because my guest today lives quite possibly the most interesting life out of all of my friends. Her name is Sorelle Amor, and I don't have a specific topic for her this week because almost her entire life is unconventional, from traveling the world to moving to Finland from Australia to starting her own business all about mastering selfies to coming up with the most inspirational captions. If you have seen her social media, you know this babe is a special spark in this boring world. So hello, Sorelle.
Oh my God, that was such a nice intro.
You know, it's funny. All of my guests have like, they have this moment of pause when it's done because I don't read it to you guys.
It's so nice. Oh. It just gave me such a confidence boost. I was like, I'm just like a normal girl. And then, whoa, when you say it like that, I'm like, oh, I'm spectacular.
Well, you are not just a normal girl. You are spectacular.
And thank you. Thank you. I will make one correction that I moved to Iceland instead of Finland.
Oh, I said Finland.
Yeah, but everything else is like really amazing.
So I saw on your social media that you are currently somewhere tropical and it's a secret. So can you tell me now where you are?
I am in Zanzibar in Tanzania. So very, very warm. My first time traveling since all of the lockdown happened. And I am kind of weirded out by it all. It's very strange. Like, I'm like, wait, I'm not in Iceland. So a girl that used to full-time travel now.
It's weird to travel. So we just went through daylight saving. And because neither James nor I are traveling anymore, like, we used to hop time zones all the time and we never felt any weirdness when we would change. And now our daylight saving has like destroyed both of our lives. Like, we can't go to sleep and we can't wake up and we're tired. And it's just like 1 hour's time change.
I know. I hear you as well. I'm like only 3 hours ahead here in Tanzania and I legitimately have the most intense jet lag and it's very weird, but it's good. I'm like falling in love with stability again and just being still. It's a new lesson. It's a new chapter in life and just trying to embrace that as much as possible. But it came to the point where I had to come to Tanzania for work and also thank God for some sun because Iceland's about to go into like 2 hours worth of sunlight a day.
Yeah.
And that's depressing on top of a depressing year.
I mean, even here, it's getting dark at like 5 and I'm like, I can't get out of bed. Everything's terrible. Like, I can't imagine dealing with that in Iceland.
Iceland is intense, man. But it's again, so more lessons from that. You just go internal. And that's why there's so many musicians and writers in this country, because there's nothing you can do in winter except for
be creative. Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's kind of like quarantine. It's kind of the same idea. I've never made more funny TikTok videos in my life than when we went into quarantine.
Yeah, I started watching TikTok for a second, but it's addictive and it's horrible.
Yeah, whoever created that app is a marketing genius.
And a monster all at the same time.
True. Okay, so you and I are catching up. So Sorelle and I haven't seen each other for like over half a decade since before she moved to Iceland. And so we're just like catching up like friends. But I forget sometimes that this is a podcast, so the people listening are like, who the heck is this girl? Well, hopefully some of our crossover and some of your followers are here too. But just in case they do not actually know who you are and what you do, tell me just a little bit, or tell them just a little bit about your journey as an influencer and how you kind of came to be.
Well, I was working, as you know, because the last time we met was on set of a photo shoot. I was working at Sherpa Birdie Photography as a photography intern, which was strange in itself because I come from a business background. And all of a sudden, when I was meditating for 10 days during Vipassana, I got this like hunch just to call my friend Sasha and say like, hey, can I be your intern, photography intern? And for some reason she said yes. And so this kickstarted my journey of being a little bit more creative instead of just business minded. And then I, again, my heart just says, go to Europe and live in Europe, buy a one-way ticket and go. And it was devastating because I thought I had my perfect life set up in Australia. I had everything that I ever dreamed of, making more money than I could imagine, working in a beautiful job. I met someone that I thought I'd be with forever. And I was like, I have to leave it all because my heart is telling me. So that was really painful. But how it all panned out was I was just in Iceland, sitting, doing nothing at this, in this cabin. And
as you do in Iceland.
You do nothing during winter. So I was sitting there with nothing to do. And I always remembered that I wanted to do YouTube. So I picked up a camera and I started making these really lame videos interviewing a horse.
They were not lame because I remember watching them and you literally are the only human that could make a video interviewing a horse and everybody would love it because you're like just so sweet and fun and all you have to do is smile and like you're everybody's best friend.
Oh my God, that's so nice. Because then you look at my timeline and I'm so serious on my Instagram.
I know, it's like, so funny, your feed, because you're so like sexy and serious and contemplative. I'm like, man, if these people just like hung out with her for 5 minutes in person, it's coming across your personality on the podcast. But it's funny how sometimes our online personas are...
I got sucked into this strange haze of doing things for the algorithm instead of what I wanted to do for real. I mean, I enjoyed the journey and I'm grateful for it. But now I look back and I'm like, I can't post again because what am I going to post my ass? I'm going to post a serious, like, posy photo. And it doesn't feel like me at all. So I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Well, but it's still so beautiful. And it still is some sort of part of you, but I get it being sucked into the algorithm. Like you see a post get tons of likes and comments, then you're like, okay, I got to make 8 more posts just like that one.
I'm grateful for my photos. I'm grateful I did that journey, but I think it's just not representing who I am and just I'm a fucking dork.
I mean, we all are really at the end of the day. So for those of you that are listening that don't know what we're talking about in her like sort of serious selfies and butt photos, Sorrel kind of made her claim on Instagram doing selfies, but they're more self-portraits than like holding the camera yourself. And it looks like you just have a photographer following you around in your whole life, but they are all selfies. Your Instagram is at Sorrel Amor.
Yes.
So her social media links will be in my show notes for all of her social medias and for YouTube and everything. But it's just such a beautiful thing because I am just to hold my camera, get some good light outside and like take a picture so people can see my makeup. Mm-hmm. I'm not so fancy with the, I'm actually, you have inspired me to start getting better with the tripod stuff to take pictures of my outfits.
Yeah. But nice. It's, I love that.
Yeah, it's still not anything like your Instagram game. It's so beautiful. And it doesn't matter that it's you or that it's your butt. It's like, honestly, your butt is beautiful. If I had your butt, I would take pictures of
it's
it all day long.
It's pretty nice. Also, I put my butt towards the camera, so it made it look juicy, but it's not like that right now. So 2020, I haven't been exercising. but that's the fun thing with what I've done. And I'm not sad that I went through this journey. And it's not that it's gone forever, but I'm just trying to find a new version of myself. But it has given people the option to take control of their online image, which in today's world has been quite important to present yourself in a certain light and also play around with your confidence and figure out who you want to be and showcase your best features or learn to enhance your best features so you don't have to feel so shit around yourself comparing to people that have the amazing studio photography so you can rebuild your self-esteem and promote your message, promote your business or whatnot. There's a lot of benefits to the advanced selfie. So I'm grateful for it, but I think I just want to slightly advance it and change it and mold, you know. We're all okay to change and grow in life.
Yeah, and we evolve. I mean, I can't be Cherry Dollface forever. I mean, I still have that moniker because that's where all my followers are, but, you know, I'm not like Miss Brock Really Seen Queen anymore because my life has evolved kind of out of that. And that's okay. And I think that's the thing too, is if you have those tried and true people that follow you and like what you do, that they're going to stick around for whatever phase you go through in your life. The thing is just being true to yourself is going to keep that momentum.
Yeah. Otherwise you get depressed anyway, but by putting out work that you're not inspired by and then your followers are like, oh, this person's boring now. So I'm out. So you might as well just do what you love. It's your personality in the end. That's really what it comes down to, I think.
I think one of the things that like probably really jump-started your following as well was the travel contest you won, which was really funny because I wanted to enter it, but I had already had a tour scheduled and it overlapped what? With the dates. And so I didn't enter it. So when I saw you entered it, I was like, yes, somebody I know. So I like voted for you and I was all about it. Oh. But like, tell us about this travel contest thing.
Yeah. So when I was doing YouTube for a few months, I was lucky enough to meet like this big German YouTuber and we became friends and she helped me grow to like 80,000 subscribers from not much to that. And I was like, whoa, that's amazing. My life is made. And thanks to that, I think I got an audience and I saw this travel competition and I was feeling quite down in Iceland at the time because, you know, darkness in Iceland really gets to you. And so I was feeling pretty shitty. And this competition came in. My brother was like, hey, we should apply. And so I really took it literally. I was like, I'm doing this. Out of 17,000 people, I won. And I did it in 3 months of doing that, getting paid to travel and creating. It was so much work. Like, it was so much work. I had one day off in 3 months. And I know that people are going to be like, ew, you got paid to travel. But it was so intense with a jet lag and, you know, having to cut 4 videos a week, 1,500 photos a week, 2 articles a week for 3 months straight. It took a lot out of you. But
so the contest was, it was 3 months. It was you alone, but you could have people visit you, right? Because I remember your boyfriend came at some point. And then how many countries/cities did you visit?
I think it was like 13 countries.
And maybe. Like the places she was staying were like beautiful villas with private pools. And like, it was, it was absolutely incredible to watch. I was so jealous. I was so mad I didn't enter, but I'm so glad you got the opportunity instead. And your content was probably really, way better than mine would have been.
No, it was amazing. It was such a nice experience of the first time in my life, I think, of being okay to acknowledge that I wanted to see what it felt like to experience luxury things, because my background wasn't luxury. We came from quite a shitty background, I'd say. I thought I didn't care. I thought it wasn't important, but it sparked this appreciation of beauty in the world in me. It doesn't have to come with a giant price tag by any means, but seeing that you deserve to also have those luxurious, beautiful things. And I didn't have to have this attitude of like, that's only for lame people. It's like, no, I want to experience the best of life as well. And this was such a lucky experience that I got to do this, and it changed my whole trajectory of my life and who I am and what I seek in the world. So,
well, and you appreciate luxury so much when you don't live in a luxurious life. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of it, is that you're not taking any of that for granted. It's not like somebody that already lives in that and then is like, oh yes, a butler, whatever. Like, you're like, oh my God, a butler. And I think that was what was just such the magical thing of watching you go through it, was not only like, if you guys see Sorrel, if you ever see her speaking, you, like I was saying before, your smile, you just have like the biggest, widest, most contagious smile. And it was like almost like childlike joy when you would show like you going into a new place and like jumping around and running around. And like, it made it fun. Because I feel like we all identified with that as people who also don't get to live that life of like, that's exactly what I would do, versus like, yes, now here's my fourth bedroom and blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like how normal influencers act like that's just normal life.
Dude, I'm just so pissed off at that boring trend of like, look at me, I'm living this luxury
and all
life.
This shit I own that it means nothing. It's one thing if you get something amazing and beautiful and you want to share it and be excited about it. It's another if you're like blasé about
I know.
Your millions.
Like, I've got my fucking expensive watch and my car and my bitches. It's like, whoa.
My bitches. I mean, I'm excited about my bitches.
The culture of just like more.
I think the thing is there's nothing wrong in taking joy in that stuff, but it's also having perspective to know that it comes and goes and not to sort of balance your whole life on that.
Agreed. I love that because things can come and go and it's fluid, and you know, there are moments that it could disappear, but that's just another stage in life and you can learn. It doesn't make you a failure. You know, we all go through ups and downs and successes and wins and then failures, and that's how life is. It's meant to teach you this way. So
I think that's the other thing too, is not measuring your successes and failures monetarily. Like, yeah, just because you have like all this fancy stuff, like, but are you happy? Because if you're not happy, then you're really not successful. And I think people put a lot of weight on monetary stuff for happiness.
Yeah, definitely. But I also understand, because we're fed in the media that this is the most important. But yeah, society pushes this on us thinking that this is going to make people happy and so forth. So I don't blame people for getting caught up in this journey. But honestly, I think it's community and contentment.
I was just going to say contentment. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So you obviously won this contest. You went to Europe. You were living in Iceland already, though, when you won that contest.
Well, I wasn't actually living there. We put all, when I started traveling, my boyfriend, like 1 month me being away, he packed up our whole house and put it into storage. And we had that storage for 2 years. So we weren't actually living here. We were just traveling with backpacks. And so that was about 2.5 years of doing that, which was very intense. Mm-hmm. And we were, last year in November, we were meant to be living in LA. I was there for 3 months.
And I know. And we didn't see each other. It's so stupid.
I know. What the heck? I know. So we were meant to live in LA, but then we came to Iceland in December just to buy an investment property and just to get our stuff out of storage, because I wanted to have a little house here that I could Airbnb and come and visit whenever I wanted to. But we just happened to... freaking universe does weird funky things. This perfect beautiful house that we both loved, and it was a lot more expensive than what I originally planned on paying for a little Airbnb. So we just decided to stay and move out of LA, and then lockdown happened, and I was like, well, that was good timing.
Yeah.
So just by chance we ended up back in Iceland, and I specifically said with Iceland living there again, because it is a hard country to live in, I said only if I have this as a base and I'm still going to travel.
Yeah.
And then lockdown happened, and it's been really hard, but also very thankful that I've gone through this deep internal healing work of being just so sad this year. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hopefully it cycles. I feel like those kind of things happen in cycles, and hopefully this sad cycle is not too long. But yeah, I talk about depression a lot in my podcast. I have bad depression. I actually have seasonal depression, which is a lot of the reason why I feel like I can't leave LA, because I get sunshine year round. Even just the daylight savings, it's getting dark at 5, and just that is enough. Where I was telling James the other day, like, I'm feeling the darkness creeping in, like I'm feeling the, like, can't get your head above water, and life is fine. Like, COVID's happening and there's stressful things, but like personally I'm content. And it's hard to battle depression and bad, sad, horrible things, especially against the elements. And
it makes it so much harder. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, I experienced my first ever depression when Iceland robbed me of sunshine, I guess. And I was here. And so I didn't understand what it was and so forth. And it was a short spurt until I actually hit sun. So I realized how important sun was for me. I thought I was done with it. And then it came up this year again. And I was just, I don't know if it was depression or just feeling depressed, but I just had to welcome it and just be like, okay, I'm going to learn something from it. And you can't fight it. You kind of have to just...
You have to roll with it. You just have to let it... Yeah, you just have to let it run its course and just settle into it and don't let it overtake you, but just like roll with it until one day you wake up and you're like, oh, okay. Like, I feel a little bitter today. Yeah. So you were saying that you're kind of over this whole advanced selfie. So that's kind of been your trajectory the last few years with Instagram and everything. But you said that you're kind of changing direction. Did I understand that correctly? Is there something else coming in your future?
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at my YouTube channel maybe an hour ago, funny enough. And I was looking at how it all started, and it started with travel, and it was going travel, 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 and, you know, digital nomad insights and how to work online. And then for some reason it just switched into photography, because people were asking me more how to take these photos that I was taking by myself. I just turned my channel into this, and I was pushing it. I enjoyed it for a while, but I think it's just going back to my roots, you know, like now that I've lived this really unconventional life and I can reflect back and say, like, whoa, I have not followed anything normal in my entire life. Like, I almost want to just kind of encourage people more wherever possible to break out of societal expectations and just try, because I know it's worked for me, and it's, you know, taking those risks have paid off massively for me. And if I can just encourage one or two people to consider, you know, living in a country for a year or so, I think that would make a huge difference in people's lives, because, you know, living somewhere else teaches you a lot more about yourself and the culture and the world and compassion. So to encourage people to take that first step, which can be petrifying, but it's what I know. It's my expertise. I can't comment on anything else really. This is what I know and what it's worked for me to live this life.
Sorrel Amor, motivational speaker extraordinaire.
Not motivational, please. No. Like, step by step, maybe guidance. I guess just constant inspiration to be like, hey,
yeah,
like, this is, I mean, step by step, this is what I did, like, to try to take the fear out of the first step, because it can be the scariest part.
So maybe change motivator instead of motivational speaker.
Change itch. I don't know.
Whatever the title is going to be, I like it. I love it. And I love that you're on my podcast because my podcast is all about trying to live some sort of unconventionality in your life, whether it's, you know, how we do full top to bottom, or if it's just one little corner of your life. So that kind of leads me into my next little segment. I do this with every guest I have. I ask the same three questions. So the first question is, and this is going to be kind of an obvious one for you, but what makes your life particularly unconventional?
What makes my life unconventional? Just wanting to experience as much of life as possible. And I think it all came down to, thankfully, just questioning everything. Like, it's like, hey, get a job and stay in this job, but why? Just I think I always took the times where things just didn't sit right as a change time. Yeah, I don't know if I answered that, but everything's been unconventional.
No, you totally did. And that was a thing I don't remember what it was. I was talking about something unconventional, as I do. And I was just saying the number one thing is just to be brave. And I think that goes for anything unconventional, is just be brave, like follow your gut and be brave, and it's going to lead you somewhere. And then if it's not the right path, then you just switch trajectory and then you go some other direction.
Yeah. And at least it, even by taking a chance and it not working out, you've learned something. But I always, I sit on this question so much because I do want to know, what is it that makes the difference between someone that takes that step, the petrifying step, and someone that doesn't? I'm trying to break that down, because that tiny moment in time will change your whole life. If you're scared, if you have butterflies and you are petrified but so excited at the same time, that's like the time when you have to make that huge decision. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are too afraid and they sit back and say, nah, it's too scary.
It's that, like, we're force fed from the time we're young that we need stability. That stability is like the number one path to happiness. Like, we have to have a stable job with benefits, and we have to, you know, have the partner and the house, and we have to own our house and we have to own our car. I think that's the thing, especially in America, is that we're just like fed that's what we need. And if we don't have that, it's unknown and it's scary.
I just want to point out, a lot of people are going to be like, ew, but you know, a job is really great for a lot of people, especially in this time.
Especially if you have kids. And that's the thing I talk about a lot in this podcast, is that I don't have kids. So a lot of my experience comes from not having to have that stability for little humans. So I think that definitely changes a lot of people's perspective, but I do think there's still ways around it.
Yeah. I just always say, like, I can't speak for every person in the world. Like, I can only speak to the people that have a similar possibilities to me. So you can't inspire everyone with everything you do. Like, it's impossible to be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
So we can only speak from experience, I guess.
On the flip side of that, which will be more difficult for you, what makes your life conventional?
Oh shit.
You're engaged. That's pretty conventional.
Well, I proposed, so
that's well, that's unconventional, but let's not talk about unconventions.
Yeah, I own a house, which was also amazing, and it's in Iceland on the other side of the world from my family, so slightly unconventional.
I know, you keep bringing it back.
I have a steady online job for 5 years. But I'm not against unconventional things. I just try to sprinkle them with a little dust of unconventional. So it doesn't have to be a dramatic change at all, but just slightly different is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's the way. That's the way of me too.
Yeah.
Okay, so last of my three questions that I ask everybody. You know that I'm all about positivity, and I like to help inspire positivity in other people. And I think sometimes we don't take enough thought in the positive things happening in our life, especially like you said, you're going through a really sad time. So I want you personally to name three positive things in your own life right now, big or small.
Okay. This is going to go completely against you, what you just said, but positive things is the first one for 2020 has been being sad.
Okay. Well, if that is doing positive things for you, then that's great.
Yeah. Because I finally learned that I can't be angry at myself being sad. I can't be sad that I'm sad. It was just like, oh, I'm sad. And I had to embrace being sad. So I also love to embrace, you know, all sides of us, because I think we are somewhat forced to think that we are meant to be positive all the time. But it's so hard to do that. So
no way. I have days where I'm like, fuck this and fuck that. And that girl's shoes are ugly and this sandwich is gross. And I mean, I don't say that out loud. I would never say that to the girl whose shoes are ugly. But you can't be positive all the time. That's not realistic.
Yeah, like embracing the sadness has been interesting. I'm thankful that I'm alive, you know.
And that's
it comes
great.
With all of its challenges, but far out, thank God I'm breathing and I get a chance to live. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, it's hard, but like I get to smell the air. I get to, you know, kiss my partner maybe and taste delicious food in my mouth. So I think that's just like the smallest things. Everything else is just a bonus.
I mean, and being alive really isn't the smallest thing. I think that's the biggest
thing. Yeah, I know. It's pretty, pretty big. I know, exactly. And the last thing I would say is I really love humans.
Humans? I love that. Yeah. I love humans too.
Yeah, I think they're cool. I mean, we get a little slack for being like really rude and hating each other and all that. And like humans are shit and they're destroying the world. But yeah, at the core of humanity, we're trying to do our best and love each other and take care of each other. And we just want to be loved and appreciated. So it's interesting to watch humans do their human thing in a way. So I just want to give credit to being human and with all the faults that it comes with as well.
Big ups to humans. Okay. So I took questions. Actually, so many people asked where you were. So, I mean, by the time we're listening to this, they'll already know. Hopefully. Do you have a plan of when you're going to tell people?
I thought about almost telling people now and I was like, nah. I don't know. I kind of like not telling people.
I love it. It's mysterious. It's sexy.
It's funny.
Okay. So first question is from, by the way, anybody that submitted a question, all of your usernames will be in the show notes. So if I butcher how you say this, it will all be spelled correctly in the show notes. And also for future reference, if you are listening to my podcast and you want to submit a question or a story for anything in the future, please follow me on my socials. My socials are at the Cherry Dollface on pretty much everything. Again, along with Sorrel's links, there are links to all of my things in the show notes. Okay, so Alexis Kunzelman asked, did you ever struggle with lonesomeness when traveling? How did you cope?
Oh, yeah, totally. Very lonely. I overworked myself. and I just took it as a time in my life where I'll get the chance to be lonely, because now in hindsight, I'm with my partner almost all the time. And I loved single life. I loved being by myself so much, and that's no longer ever going to be a possibility, which I'm also thankful for. But loneliness is not something that's going to last forever. And it's something that should be really embraced, because it's not going to be there forever. So, I definitely overworked myself and just try to keep myself busy if it happened, but then I'd snap out of it and be like, well, I'm traveling. So it's still not that bad.
Yeah. That's the thing traveling alone is lonely, but you do come across people. Then it makes those moments when you connect with other humans so much more special.
Yeah, totally. And it's really good for a period of time, because it's like you always see the best of people. Mm-hmm. It comes a time when you want the deeper connections, and that's where I think the loneliness comes, because you don't have the capacity to go. Actually, is it true? I don't know, because even people on my travels, I go really deep if I find the right people.
That's what I'm saying. Like when you are traveling and you do have those moments when you've experienced that intense loneliness, and then you get that moment of connection, like when I met you and when I met Sasha, and like going out and having our girl time, or the day we went to Bondi Beach, like those moments when you're lonely and you're traveling are so monumental in your life. Whereas if you weren't lonely, it wouldn't, like, I don't think that I would feel the connection I feel with you and Sasha if I hadn't have experienced so much loneliness when I was traveling through New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah, you don't take it as much for granted. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Butterfly Tinkerbell says, is Sorrel your real name? And then she said, love you guys. And of course we love you.
Oh, bless. yeah, it is my real name.
And it's not really nice short name. For anything.
No, it's just, Sorrel. Just unlike yours, I didn't know yours. Cherokee? That's awesome.
Hey, thanks.
I had no idea. I love that.
Yeah, the Cherry actually makes sense with my real name versus a lot of the pinup world where it's like their real name is like Amy and they go by Cherry.
That's so funny. So true.
Okay, so Kaylee B12 asks, what's one thing you wish you knew when you started traveling?
Wow. That it wouldn't be as hard as what I thought it was going to be. It wouldn't be as scary.
Oh, interesting. But then if it wasn't as scary, if you knew that, you wouldn't have had all that fun, nervous energy And that's half the
fun. But I mean, even, no matter how many times I tell people that it's not as scary as they think it is, they're still going to be scared, because the first few times you do it, it is petrifying. And then you get into the groove and you're like, oh, is this it? Mm-hmm. And then you just feel so comfortable no matter where you go in the world.
So I did a whole podcast about traveling alone, and I did, you know, questions like I do in every podcast. God, I've said the word podcast so many times in this podcast. How annoying. Anyways, sometimes people call it a pod, and that for some reason annoys the heck out of me. So I refuse to say that. So anyways, I did a podcast about traveling alone. And when I opened the questions, I swear to God, 95% of them were like, was it scary? Were you scared? Are you ever scared? Are you scared to travel alone? And it was like so many people asking questions about safety. Like if I ever, how do I stay safe? And how, and it was just stuff I had never really thought about. Like I just travel and I just do it. And I stay out of places that don't feel safe.
Mostly when I was choosing places to travel by myself at the start, it was definitely countries that I didn't, that weren't on the more scary side of traveling.
Yeah,
solo.
You're not going to like Afghanistan in a string bikini. Like you have to have street smarts when you're traveling alone, especially as a female.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, my favorite person to follow for that is Lexi Limitless. She's the youngest person to ever travel to every country in the world.
Wow.
She just broke the Guinness Book of World Records. Thank you. She's like 21 or 22 and she's traveled to every country. And her videos are very informative on how to travel safe and all that stuff and how to travel solo, because she's a beautiful young female. And so she's had to consider that a lot.
That's incredible. I have to check her out. Lexi Limitless.
Yeah, amazing. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay. Next question is by Angie Vell Photos. How did you let go of fear? Speaking of that, I'm scared of following what I want because of the fear I'm feeling. Any advice?
I think it just comes down to the regret you're going to have if you don't follow it, because 100%. That is going to eat you up way more than, you know, trying it. Because I know there's certain things that I've not done in my life, and the regret is just constant, and it just chips slowly away at you, just a tiny little bit more this day and one more little bite this day. So it's like you're actually doing yourself a favor by just getting it over and done with and just giving it a crack. Otherwise you are screwed.
Yeah, I think I regret more the things I haven't done than anything I've ever done.
Oh, even I don't even think about the things I've never, ever regretted anything I've done.
No, that's the thing. Even like, you know, like relationships that have ended or divorce or moving or loss or losing friends, like all of it's brought me to here and now, and I'm happy here and now. So can't regret any of that, because then it would have changed. You know, it's the butterfly effect. If you go back and change one thing, then it changes your whole life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, definitely the regret of not doing it is just so much more intense, and it just feels horrible.
Mm-hmm. When I moved here from Portland, obviously not as big of a move as Australia to Iceland, but so many people back home were like, you're gonna hate it and it's fake and it's smoggy and the people suck and and my thought was always like, okay, well, what if I move and that's all true and I hate it? Then I just come back and then I know that wasn't for me, and then I stopped thinking about it. But I did it and I love it.
Yeah, completely. And then I always think about it as well. Like, you already know the trajectory of where you're going in life with your current life. Mm-hmm. So if you try something different, it's going to at least shake up your life, and it'll make you a little unstable, and you'll learn and you'll grow, and it's just going to make a better story in the end. So your life is going to be much more exciting, and it'll be worth talking about rather than like, I know where the next 5 years roughly, what the next 5 years are going to look like. And that's going to bore you. So you might as well make your life interesting, because you're living anyway. So you might as well just see what happens.
That's the thing too, is, you know, some people are perfectly content with a 100% conventional life. I think that's the rarity, but it does exist, just as some people are perfectly content with a completely unconventional life. But I think most people that fall somewhere in the middle have some sort of malcontent in their life, and they don't know why it is. And so that's where taking the risks, it kind of pinpoints. It's like if you have a food allergy and you don't know what it is, well, you stop eating everything and then you try everything to see what it is that's reacting. It's like kind of the same idea.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, because it can, I guess so. Like, if it can just feel like your whole life sucks, but it could be just a tiny component. So
yeah, and you just have to, like,
adding or subtracting something could change the whole game, and then you know what made you happier and what made you sadder, and just delete the things you don't like and then increase the things that you do like. Like, I also know when people feel super shit, because I've been there as well. It's like everything just feels shit, and taking action is so much hard work.
Yeah.
but you can't, and you kind of have to. My, for that, I would say get off social media, because I've noticed myself, social media legitimately steals my energy and it takes it away. So get off social media for a week and you'll have energy again and you'll be able to take action.
Yep. I just gave that advice in my last podcast, but I did say that podcasts don't count as social media. So please still keep listening. But no, it's absolutely true. And I think especially with social media, it's when you're in that sort of ill content, malcontent, where you don't know what's wrong and looking at people's perfect shiny lives on social media just makes everything feel worse, and it just makes it drains your motivation.
Completely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was all my questions, and that is the podcast. I told you it would be quick and easy once we got started. So thank you so much for chatting with me. I hope that I know that you will have inspired people that are listening to this. And please go follow Sorrel. She is such a lovely, creative, inspiring, positive human. If you like the vibes of what I do, you will love the vibes of what she does even more. And I hope to see you. I hope you come back to visit once our countries allow people in each other's space.
In the future, we'll see what it looks like. But yeah, I intend very much on seeing you again. But thank you so much for having me. It has been a joy. It is so nice to catch up again.
Absolutely. So you take care of yourself, and I will hopefully see you soon.
See you.
Bye. Okay, so hopefully you loved that. I love Sorrel. I'm so glad that she was able to come and speak with me. So that's it for this week. Please keep listening next week and keep listening for more exciting guests. If you guys have any suggestions for guests that you would like to hear on the podcast, I would love your suggestions or links to people that might be interested in doing this that have interesting unconventional lives. So that is all. Don't be an asshole. And until next time, here's me waving like a maniac. Bye, guys.